Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and I would like to officially wish myself an early happy birthday. So this is July 13th. My birthday is on the 17th. So all of you that are out there, hop on social media and wish me a happy birthday. Very, very selfish way to do that. But here's your chance to say hi and to say, how's it going? My smart person today is Marvin Green. He is a Pittsburgher who loves the digital world and is purely driven by values. He believes there is a social responsibility that comes with technology, and he has a passion to push innovative solutions to promote informative decision-making for sustainable outcomes and client success within their business environments and, not to be forgotten, within their communities. Marvin, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely my privilege. So I think that what you're doing is so interesting because a lot of times technology seems to be kind of, it's its own entity and it seems cut and dry and it seems cut off from community. And you're looking to do values, you're looking to do community building, all of that under the umbrella of technology. Where did that concept come from for you?
It came from, the reason why I do it is like I don't want technology to ever stop people from serving people, right? Like, we're the most important component when you look at a computer system. So if you put a computer in place, I mean, standing there is cool and all, but it provides us, fulfills a purpose for us.
Yeah. Okay. I have three teenagers in my house. Okay. And to me, technology is one of the biggest dividers of people. Okay. Because, there are times when you sit down in the living room as a family and right. I've got three or four or sometimes five out of the five people in the family are all nose deep in their phones and completely ignoring the people around them. But you are saying kind of the opposite, and that is technology depends on people. Without people to run it, the technology is not going to go anywhere. But technology also offers the ability for people to connect with each other. Is that a good understanding?
Yeah, that's a great understanding. I mean, technology, to me, the internet is finally becoming what I would feel what it's supposed to be existing for. Because if you think about a network, right? A computer's network so we can network. It enhances our ability to network with one another. Recently, since COVID's been going on, there's been a lot of video conferencing. And a great thing with video conferencing, it's allowing us to meet each other virtually, connect with one another in spaces that, you would have had to go out your way to get to. Like, for instance, right now, you're in my dining room.
Right.
I'm in your home as well.
Sure.
So, being able to have that virtual portal, to me, it's more synchronous, of course, than emailing, right? So email, you send something, someone waits, they reply. But when people have their phones out in front of them, there is a social connection going on. But unfortunately, they're missing, they're taking it away from the person that's present with them. It's like I'm sitting right next to you. You're in your phone. I get that you're connected with the world and that thing, but guess what? I'm right here with you.
Yeah. So a couple things that I was thinking about. Number one, when the kids are on their phones, they're connecting in what I would classify as a fairly shallow way when they are actually in the presence of real life people that they can connect with on a deeper level. But the other thing I was thinking about is with those video conferences, with the video calls, we are actually able to get to know people on a more personal level than we would have otherwise. And what I mean by that is, how many times are you on a Zoom and you see like kids are running around in the background, or you have a cat that walks across in front of the camera, or you hear the dogs barking, and now you know you're learning things about the people that you're on the call with that you may not have known before. So, I was on one the other day and someone literally their cat walked across the across the keyboard in front of the camera, and somebody, they called them out on it, not to say like, hey, get your cat off camera, but to say, oh, you have a cat. What's your cat's name? And now we're getting to learn about who that person is and to see more into their like outside of work world to find out who they are as a person, not just the professional persona. That's a really cool way to connect. What do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, earlier this morning I was on a networking group and someone's, cuckoo clock went off while they were, you know, giving a presentation. And the funny thing is no one who they try to ignore it. Right. But then it was like, it had to mention it. Yeah. My cuckoo clock went off, but I'm gonna keep going. Right.
Right.
It's like the world is still happening around you. That's another thing too, is like, you know, I work from home. I've had the opportunity to work from home before COVID, but before when I was working from home, no one else was home. So the kids were at school, the wife was at work. So it was like the home office to myself. Right.
Right.
But that changed. So, you know, during that time, I would have a kindergartner on one side, a first grader on the other side, and I'm sitting here working through. And if I'm in the middle of a Zoom, you know, they might ask me a question and I'm trying to give them like a one off a camera, like 1 second, right?
Exactly.
And now it's getting a little more comfortable to where it's like, hey, 1 second, I'm on Zoom. Because, and now they come down the steps and they're just like, Dad, are you on camera?
Right. What? Okay. So I'll have to tell you, this is confession time on my part. My wife's probably going to get really mad at me for sharing this, but my home office is in our bedroom. And like, I was on a Zoom call, like, you know, probably a year ago, and she didn't realize it. And so she came into the bedroom and she goes right into our attached bathroom and is running bathwater. Right. So here I am, you know, and you've got this static in the background and I'm not telling anybody like, yeah, that static is actually the water running in our bathroom, but it was that exact thing where, but I think it has the potential to humanize people because what I see is there are, you know, Instagram and TikTok and all of those things. You can create a persona, right? Mm-hmm. You can create, you know, an avatar and you can edit that and you can change all of the things about it. And so it doesn't actually have to reflect who you are. But, and so in that way, again, you're getting a more superficial connection. And when you're on a video conference, on a video call, it's much, much more, it's much easier. Let's put it this way. It's much easier to be yourself. And there's not a whole lot of the ability to polish and hide and all of that stuff, which is really cool. I want to go back to something else that we talked about, because in the introduction, I was talking about how you're driven by values. What does that mean to you? What are the values that you're driven by, and how do you use those in working with clients?
Yeah. To me, values are everything. You know, I define peace by, you know, making sure I'm being helpful. And also in, along with being grateful. To me, that's, you know, how I define it. And those two values, you know, are peace to me. It's like, you know, when I'm interacting with someone, I'm always asking myself, am I being helpful? Am I being grateful for the time? I mean, and if I'm not, then I probably should move on. Right. And the same thing goes with clients, as well. That's not just in my personal space. Cause I think that, like the law, the ladder is, you know, a real thing. Like your skill set can be really great, but your personality should match. And that way you know, you can have a greater impact. So like a value statement for, Triumphant we have is, IT starts with a relationship and ends with results. You know, that way we create the relationship. We get to know one another, and that way there's what's called vulnerability trust. So that way, you know, with me being an expert, you know, that way there's a relationship for me to be able to say, hey, I don't have the answer to that, but since I have the background knowledge and resources, I can get the answer to that and we can get it figured out. So that way we get our short results. And it just works out better like that, because, you know, that's just like if you, no one wants to hear their doctor say, or, you know, say, I don't know what's wrong with you, right? But they do. They're like, I don't know. I got a further diagnosis. I got to further look into, they're comfortable saying it, right? And but they feel like they have a relationship with you as your doctor, right? And it's really nice if that's your PCP because they see you all the time, like, annually, biannually. So like relationships are real important, but they're driven by values. I feel if your values align, it makes it easier for you to have a relationship with people, right? If the values are off, then you're like, I don't know, this is not my this is not my energy space.
Right. There's something missing in the connection. And in that way, your job becomes less stressful because you're working with people that you like or working with people that you are aligned with.
Right.
And in doing that, and listen, I am the guy that whenever I go somewhere and, whether it's the doctor or I've got a highly accessorized van that I drive, so from my wheelchair, which is crazy. But whenever I go somewhere with it, with all of that stuff, the answer that I generally get is, "Well, we've never seen anything like this before. We're gonna have to work on this, right?" And
Right.
so because I've got the relationship, I'm like, "Okay, I trust you to work on this," and it almost becomes a joke. But and the other thing I was thinking about is, you're talking about going to your doctor and, I remember there's a joke about the guy who goes to the doctor and the doctor's like, "I got good news and bad news." And he's like, "What's the good news?" "The good news is that you're going to be famous." And he's like, "What's the bad news?" He says, "It's because we've got a new disease and it's named after you." But that's just it, where you're going into situations, and because you have the rapport, because you have the relationship, because you're aligned, you're able to, there's a certain level, as you said, trust. And you used the phrase vulnerability trust, I think it was the phrase you used. Can you tell me a little bit more about what that entails?
Yes, being able to be straightforward, like in a sense of being clear, right? Because I feel like the one thing you should always be on time with is communication. If you're running late and you're going to be physically late, communicate on time, right? But that's also takes vulnerability trust, because if you can't, be vulnerable and admit that in a trusting relationship, then that can put you in an awkward spot. And, awkward spots is not a place for no one to be. But sometimes communication can come off as being awkward, right? But, if you can vulnerably, trust that you can communicate it and they're going to receive it, then now there's cohesion. Everyone's on the same page. They're able to give the heads up, like, "Hey, this is the reason why this is delayed. The communication was on time." Then when that way, when you show, it's not like you're in an awkward space where everyone's like, "Hey, look who just walked in the door," right?
Right.
Or "Look who just came with the solution all late," right? But no, that way everything is happening the way it's supposed to happen. And what I mean by supposed to be, it's clear, there's cohesion, and everyone's on the same page.
Okay. There's a legendary story about Bill Gates way back early in his time that when I think it was when he was originally launching Microsoft, he was meeting with a group of Japanese businessmen who were having a problem with their computer system.
Right.
And the Japanese are all about respect and, presentation. Well, he has a meeting with them at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and he walks in. He's in the same clothes that he was in yesterday. His hair's all a mess. He looks absolutely terrible, is not well put together or anything. And they're kind of aghast and shocked at, like, how dare he show up looking like he just, walked in from a night of partying. And it is then that he gives them the solution to their problem and explains that basically he was up, he pulled an all-nighter, and the reason that, like, he didn't get changed out of his clothes from yesterday because he has been working nonstop to solve their
Right.
problem. And so now they understand that his actions carry a respect that his presentation does not, and it the communication of what's going on is what ultimately changes the view of what people are seeing. Does that make sense to you at all?
It makes a ton of sense. I mean, in a sense of when you say action, carries respect, think about the value statement I just said, like it starts with a relationship, it ends with results. Like presentation is really cool and all, right? But results like really matter. It's just like being a father. Like you can be a father who just buys things for your kids, right? And it's like, "Hey, look, I'm presenting, everything is in presentation package. It looks really well that I'm fathering my child, but if you're present, like if you're actually there during the games, right? Those are results.
You nailed it, man. You hit it right on the nose. I love it. So let's talk about those results. And I mean, part of building the relationship is that you've got to set the goals so that you have some way to measure the results. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is accurate. I mean, you definitely want to have a plan. You want to have, and with any plan, you want to have a success criteria. That way, you know what you charted out from your scope. And then you want to have metrics that tells you, you know, how much you met that goal, and if there is a gap, which there can be, how to make sure you address those gaps before the whatever you're charting out closes.
Okay, and now we talked about this again in the open. It's the connection between business and community, between money and culture. Do the goals that you're setting for in that paradigm, are they just business goals? Are they goals that are involve the community as well? Or how do those goals lay out as you're building that relationship and measuring your success?
Yeah, I think all goals in the end come down to what I call the ultimate goal, right? And the ultimate goal are culture goals, right? So culture goal to me is something that, you know, has an impact on the planet we live on, the people we're interacting with. And that's where I say that, you know, there's a social responsibility that comes with technology. I mean, when you roll out technology, there's going to be changes, right? And just because it's a piece of cool technology doesn't mean that it meets the purpose that you need it for. And you want to actually assess the impact. I mean, recently I just found out, and this is kind of dated news, but this is recent for me. So there's autonomous retail, right? So now there are retail stores that are coming out that where you walk in, you grab, and you go. They know who you are. They're charging your account for it, right?
Right.
And but to me, it's like, that's a great idea. It's a great thing. But what's going to be the impact of it? There's going to be job loss and whatever happened to those people that no longer have those jobs. I mean, technology is great, and I love the digital world, right? But I'm very sensitive to its impact to, you know, our society that we live in.
Yeah, I would say that even beyond that, like my kids hate to actually talk to people, okay? They'll text, don't ask me to call, don't ask me to go, like, I'll text somebody and I can send them a DM on whatever. But I think with the autonomous retail, and this is just maybe me showing that I'm really old, that there's something lost in the fact that when you go to check out, you're talking to someone, you are
right,
building a relationship. And, you know, even you're able to say like, hey, there's this problem with this piece. Do you have another one? Is there, or can I get a discount on this? Or what can we do? It takes it out of that realm of relationship building, out of that realm of mm-hmm. communication, and puts it in a realm where the world almost becomes utilitarian, where I have this need. I go, I get the thing that meets my need. I bring it home. I don't interact with anybody. It almost feels like the world becomes self-centered, that
right,
it's all about me. It's my need. I find a solution. I bring it home. I implement it. And you lose out on that social piece. What's your reaction to that scenario?
I mean, to relate to that, my son, we just celebrated his 6th birthday party, right? It would be helpful to me to have an autonomous thank you cards that went out, right? Autonomous thank you phone calls, just with a, you know, automated voice saying, hello, thank you for coming to Mason's birthday party. But the relationship's gone, right? It kind of feels like, you know, wow. So all I get is a automated thank you.
Right. Well, okay. I'll tell you, when I graduated high school in 1990, and we had a graduation party, and there were people who were very generous and gave me very nice things. And I was leaving for a trip maybe a week or two after the graduation party. And my dad said, listen, you cannot go on this trip unless all of your thank you cards are written. And so I was like, okay, well, he and I developed a template. Now, this is, I mean, this is very early on in the whole, you know, computer automation age. And we developed a template in which I was able to write cards, and I plugged in who the person was, what they gave me. And then my dad was smart enough to say, okay, there is a spot in your template in which you have to write at least an individualized sentence to every single person that you send a thank you card to. So they can't all pull out their, you know, pull out the card and look at it and be like, this is exactly what it says to you. All that's changed is my name and thank you for the very nice pen, you know, like, so there's a value that technology can make things easier, but we can't let it take away that personal aspect, and which is so, so powerful. Let me go back again, because I feel like I'm just unpacking your intro for the whole conversation, but there were so many things in there that were interesting to me, and I kind of want to highlight them. You were talking about, we talked about building your business. We talked about building your community. You talked in there about business environment, okay? And I'm assuming that your business environment is not just the corporate culture within your office, but your business environment is also the other businesses that you would be in some ways competing with. So it would be your competitors, it would be your suppliers, it would be all of those working together. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you see that business environment with all of those elements at play there?
Yeah, I mean, just to go back to values, I think everything aligns with that relationship, right? Okay. So to me, that's why companies have company values, so they can determine, you know, in the last phase of, do we want to make this relationship, right? Because you know what the benefits are, you know, but to me, it's like it all should be value oriented. And of course, I mean, profit is a big deal, but
sure.
If you want to make things value oriented, but in the environment of the business, I mean, for the success, to me, when I look at computer systems, I can't avoid looking at the people, right? It's like, because even when people drop tickets in and you look, and even when you look at a report and a report says, you know, 15 assessments or 15 people, to me, there's a story inside of one, inside of that 15. And that all comes from that business environment. So your numbers, you know, they tell stories, and your business environment is where stories come to life. Right. So if you have the right components in place and everything is, you know, making sense with one another, then your reports and your stories are going to kind of tell how everything is moving around.
Okay. Let me give you an example from my side that I think relates. Okay. And that is, I do a lot of speaking to medical professionals. And so in that, there was a powerful set of commercials probably 10 or 15 years ago in which they were talking about the woman getting a hip replacement in bed, you know, in room 422, bed B.
Right.
It is not the hip replacement, but she is Mrs. Jones, who is getting a hip replacement so that she can get back to walking with her her friend group and gardening with her grandkids and, you know, volunteering at the local library. So that instead of the medical professionals focusing on the diagnosis, they're focusing on who the person is and why they want to have this problem solved and what having this problem solved will do for them in their lives. The other piece of that is with medical professionals, I was just on a meeting with assistive technology professionals, and they were saying how many of them become assistive technology professionals because they have someone in their life who uses a wheelchair or mm-hmm. needs a speech generating device. That's the word I was looking for, you know, and they're experiencing that in their own lives. And really, John F. Kennedy did a lot of work for people with disabilities during his administration. And the reason why he did that is because he had a sister who had some developmental delays. And as a result of that, because there's that personal connection, that story is what drives it. And to me, it drives it on both sides. And I think that that's what you're saying. You look, when you're looking at what's going on in the business, it's the story of the people that are providing the service, but on the counter balance, you have the story of the people that you're serving as well. How does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, technology helps us develop those stories, and people, they drive the stories. And that's just like, I was listening, I forgot what I was listening to, but this guy, yes, he was in the audience. He was like, he picked a personality. He was like, sing a national anthem. And he knew what to sing, right? Then he was like, sing a national anthem, you know, with passion based on something that, you know, you really want to change in your life. And he sung the same song, but he had power behind it, right?
Right.
He had passion behind it. You know, when it's in the sense of a business environment, like there is passion in an environment. There is important decisions to be made, and you need to know why you're making those decisions. Because to me, there's really no right answers. There's no wrong answers. All answers are directional, right? So it's like, where is this going? Where are we navigating to? So just having a direction in your decisions based on your passion, is, you know, it collectively comes together for a greater outcome.
Yeah. So I love what you just said there. And in some ways, I think this is the importance of developing corporate values, is you look at each decision and say, how does it align with our corporate values? You have the goals that are set based on those corporate values. And is this going to move us towards our goal or no? And then
right.
It's just a matter of if it moves us towards our goal, then we go. And if it doesn't, then we don't. But if you don't have the values set up and if you don't have the goals set up, you're not going to get there. I love it. And then the other thing that you shared with me that I think is so important, and that is technology is cool, but ultimately what we need to avoid is kind of like that Terminator thing where Skynet becomes self-aware and technology begins to serve itself. Technology right. exists to serve people, right? And I think that's such an important thing. And I'd like to hear more about your thoughts on that.
So technology, yeah, it needs to serve us. I mean, we bring it to life, right? Someone's thinking of a piece of technology right now that would be cool to solve a problem. And it's solving a problem, like I said, when it comes to life, like, what life is it going to come to? Because every piece of technology does. You know, one thing that I really like enjoying about my tech is the notifications I get from it, right? So I rather it help me, right, and notify me so I can navigate rather than it navigate for me.
Yeah. Okay. So
unless it's a GPS.
Yeah. Understood. Well, okay, but there are people who, for whom technology serves them. And then there are people who have become slaves to technology, in which, you know, you can't survive without your phone. You can't survive without it, just different things. So right. It's so very interesting. Listen, Marvin, this has been a very enlightening conversation. I appreciate this. If people are looking to get a hold of you and to find out more about what you do, what's the easiest way to do that?
Yeah, easiest way to do is I have a LinkedIn account. Okay. So you can follow me on LinkedIn. And also, my website is triumphantds.com. You can go on there as well, and check out the cool services that we offer. And those services are IT strategic planning. And there's managed IT services. And lastly, there's database development.
Wonderful. And you have very kindly offered to do a free IT assessment, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So we recently rolled out a free IT assessment. So you can go on a website and you can sign up for it. And then signing up for it, you know, we'll reach out to you and, you know, we'll give you a preliminary breakdown of kind of where some technology gaps are at. And then, you know, offer to assist with putting together a plan to address these gaps, because, you know, businesses have business plans or business strategic plans. And inside of those, there's an operations plan, right? But one thing that seems to be missing sometimes is a technology plan. Like, you know, if you're a nonprofit, you don't want to wait until after your technology grant is gone to say, hey, but now we're stuck with this computer lab and this smart board, and we're kind of stuck on, you know, return of investment on this thing that, you know, was gratefully, we have now. So it's an asset that should be managed well. And if you're a for-profit, just thinking out about how, technology can help, even if it's in the way of like automation. Because right now, I think that's a big deal, even in the sense of having a hard time filling some positions. Are there some processes that can be automated? And that, that can definitely be helpful.
Absolutely. I will put links to all of that in the show notes so that people can get a hold of you and take advantage of that.
Thank you.
Marvin, it is now time for three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for these, my friend?
Let's go.
What is your favorite zoo animal?
My favorite zoo animal, man, I would have to say a turtle.
An interesting choice. Why the turtle?
Turtle is observant. It's moving really slow. It's efficient at using its energy. It has its protective shell, so it has its own, security.
It's got built-in security. Leave it to the IT guy to be all about. At the end of the day, it's about security. Okay. How often do you go shopping for clothes?
It's impromptu. I don't shop much for clothes, but when I do go shopping, it's like a shopping spree. So, I'll just go randomly and then I'll come home with clothes. My wife's like, "Oh, you went clothes shopping. You didn't let me know." And I'm like, it just was an impulse. So I don't know if it happens by like marketing or if it's like I just have some extra cash left over, but it usually happens just like as a burst.
Got it. All right. Last question for you. It is summertime. It is grilling time. What is the proper toppings for a hot dog?
Honestly, I just put hot sauce on my hot dog.
Okay. Hot sauce it is. No mustard, no ketchup, any raw onions, chili, just straight hot sauce?
I mean, I'm not a cook, right? I'm not a chef. I'm not the foodie person in the house. My wife is. So if you're asking me if I'm preparing it, it's just quick dog, right? I just throw some hot sauce on it and I'm out.
There you go.
That way I'm back to the grill. But if my wife's doing it, yeah, she doctors it up.
Okay.
She puts everything on there, and it's almost like a healthy dog. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Your wife is an amazing person, I am sure, but don't mess up a hot dog by trying to make it healthy. Okay, that's all I'm saying. They are made of leftover byproducts from whatever else they couldn't use. It's a hot dog. Don't try and make it healthy. But listen, I'm not insulting her.
She makes vegan dogs. So we just call them hot dogs.
There you go. Okay. More power to her. Marvin, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your perspective. It's been phenomenal to all my listeners. I appreciate you being here. And I remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.